We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God and doing my best to live for Jesus in a way that it's going to make it appealing to other people to want to make Jesus the Lord of their life as well. So thank you for being a part of this radio program, and we're going to spend the next half hour today. We're going to go back and talk a little bit more about Galatians chapter 5, verse number 25. It is First Galatians, because there's no Second Galatians. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she said, "Hey, I heard your radio program on the way home, and I really liked your joke that you made there." Folks, life is too short to go through this thing miserable, and so I pray that you are having a great time in your walk with the Lord. And if you have the opportunity to come be a part of one of our services, we have Wednesday night family night. We got a Bible study that's going on. I don't get to lead that one. I'm so thankful for the team that God has brought to Merritt Assembly of God so that, the pastor doesn't have to do everything. I don't know if you've discovered, but it is extremely hard to be in two places at the same time. It's extremely fatiguing when everything rests upon you to do it. And so we've got some phenomenal teachers. Our girls' ministry team is absolutely phenomenal. There's three or four teachers that are in there. We've got kids ministry. We've got some exciting things coming up there. We've got, youth ministry, and that is growing. In fact, my daughter, just a little over a week ago was at a youth pastors conference, and some just really exciting things happening in that area of ministry as well at the church. Exciting things happening with, my personal involvement with people and watching them grow, exciting things happening with progress and getting problems resolved of a tangible nature in the church, financial outpouring, bills being met, and all of that sort of stuff. A lot of exciting things going on. And so if you would like to come and be a part of that. Now, this Sunday, we've got Sunday school at 9:30. We've got worship at 10:30. Sunday night, we have our annual business meeting. That's for where we're reviewing everything that happened last year. All of our members are encouraged to attend, but it's not a closed meeting. If you want to come and see what God has done at Merritt Assembly of God over the past year, you're more than welcome to come. I looked at the numbers last year. 25% of our budget, it was like 24.69%, something like that, went to local, national, and international missions. We are very excited about that. That's absolutely phenomenal for a church that at one point in time had a total church budget of $13,000. We're very excited about that. We're believing for even greater things this coming year. I was on the phone with a person a little over a week ago, or almost a week ago, and they were talking that they were at a church where some missions faith promises were being made that totaled over $250,000 just for one aspect of missions, $250,000. And I said, "Wow, that's really exciting." I said, I'd really like to be able to donate on that scale at some point in time in the future myself. Lots of exciting things going on. And so one of the keys that I had to come to in life was I had to quit comparing myself to, other people. You know, it's a no-win situation. If you compare yourself to somebody who is, lesser along than you are, then you come away feeling excessively, arrogant about yourself. If you compare yourself with someone who doesn't have or has way more resources, personnel, and things like that, facilities than what you've got, then you're going to come away thinking that what you're doing doesn't matter. And so I just encourage you, hey, what the stage that you're at, enjoy that stage, enjoy that season while continuing to press on towards the stage and the season that is to come. So today we're going to talk one more time about this verse that I started sharing yesterday, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that word walk there, it's a much stronger word, walk. It means to march as in military formation. And I got to thinking about that and wanted to come in today and tell you this. I was prepared to go on to the next topic, but after I left, I got to thinking about it, and I said, you know what? I think we need to address something here. And that is, the reason that we march as in military formation is because we are at war. Now we're not at war the way that the world defines war. We're not militant as in some forms of militant other religions where they are just, you know, they're literally guns and bombs and blowing people up and terrorizing. And that's not what we're talking about. But you and I need to realize that we are at war because the enemy has declared war upon us. And so I want to take you over to Ephesians today. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There is nothing about that passage of Scripture that indicates that we are supposed to be spiritual pacifists. There is nothing in there that says that we are not supposed to have a mindset that realizes that we are engaged in an enemy who is firing real fiery darts. Now, the Scripture promises that because of who we are walking in covenant relationship with God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but it never denies that the weaponry and the purpose of harm and injury and death, spiritual death, or elimination of voice, of influence, is what the devil's intent. What that verse describes is that in spite of all of the hostilities of the enemy towards you, that God is still going to be your protection. But you and I, we have a place, and like I was saying on yesterday's program, to march in formation means that there is proper alignment, there is a proper authoritative structure, there is a proper positioning. We have a lot of vets that are in our church, and you know, it always amuses me when people who were in the armed forces begin to have that little branch rivalry where, you know, the Navy and the Air Force and the Army and the Marines and the Coast Guard, they all like their little branch. But I'm telling you what, I'm of the mindset that when I go in to a spiritual firefight, I want every weapon at my disposal. Not having a relationship of animosity, but to realize that we're there for one another. And so I want you to understand that Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You and I should have that marching mindset. I was speaking with a person who was in boot camp at one point in time, and I think it was something like a 19-mile hike that they had to go on. It was quite a trek. It was not exactly the greatest weather. They weren't just out in their jogging shoes and carrying just enough water to get by. They were marching with their gear, because you never know when you would find yourself on the battlefield having to make a walk of endurance. And at the end, not everybody that was in the training class, not everybody made it to the end of that march. But the people who refused to give up and persevered and endured until the very end, there was a great celebration. And here all of these toughened warriors who are being prepared for battle, they were just so thankful to be able to get to the very end and to celebrate the accomplishment. From what I've been told, there is a new regulation that is coming into the military right now, and that is that every person who's enlisted, with very few exceptions, every person has got to meet the standard of being ready to be deployed in a 12-month period of time. That means that they're giving them a window, and they're saying at such and such a point in time, you've got to be ready when needed to answer the call against the enemy. Several years ago, I was going to be out of town on election day itself, and so I was going to be faced with going and voting early, and so I went down to the early voting precinct, and I stood in line, and you know, I've told you on here, I'm a people watcher. I'm a people observer. I find it very fascinating. And there was a person in there, and they said, well, I am not voting for so-and-so. And you know, that's a conversation they really shouldn't be having at that point in time because of voting laws. But they said, and another person said, well, why? And they said, because I've got a whole bunch of friends that enlisted in the military, and now they're being deployed. And this person said, well, if they didn't want to be deployed, why did they sign up to go into the military in the first place? And they said they enlisted in the military because they wanted the government to pay for their college education. Now, I've got no problem with the GI Bill and the Montgomery Bill and all of those things, but let me explain something to you. The military is not a scholarship program. It's a military designed to be prepared to go into battle and come out victoriously at any given point in time. And, you know, that person tried to explain to them, well, that was not the right reason for them to go into the military. And it was during a time where there were lots and lots of people being deployed because we were facing a very real threat. So let me ask you this. Why did you say yes to the invitation to become a part of the family of God? Well, a lot of people did that because they don't want to go to hell. I'm with you. I don't want to go to hell either. I'm so thankful that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. It's a glorious place. It's a marvelous place. Don't miss heaven for the world. A lot of people come to Jesus because their world fell apart and they needed to come to the person who can put worlds together in the first place. You see, the devil is really good at destroying things. He's not very good at creating things. God is very good at creating things, and he's also very good at recreating things. He's a God of order. The devil is a God of chaos. I mean, small g. God, big G, is a God of order. The devil is only interested in chaos. But when you said yes, you were saying yes, not just to an isolated relationship with Jesus Christ, but you were saying yes to becoming a part of the body of Christ. And that's what the church is. And when it says that, let me just start with husbands, okay? Our responsibility is to love our wives to such an extent that we are willing to lay down our lives for our wives and for our families, if that is necessary, because that's the way that Christ loved the church. And so we've got to be willing to go into that. You know, we're just weeks away from when a teacher laid down his life to protect his students. That takes a special mindset. You see, the concept of self-preservation is one of the strongest drives that a person has in their core makeup. And to say, you know what, I'm willing to lay my life down so that you can have your life. That takes a special breed of person. And so you and I, we've got to realize that there are times that we may be called to lay some things down, not just for our family, but for one another in the body of Christ as well. And I want you to know that's not a concept that is foreign to the scriptures. It's something that goes all the way back to the earliest book in the scriptures itself. Remember, we're at war. If you always have that mindset that you're at war, then you will stay vigilant. You will stay watchful. You will stay in a idea of preparedness. You will be ready because you know that your enemy is never going to take a day off. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And it said, then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. Now, Lot was given the choice by Abram because they had abounded and increased to such an extent that the land where they were both occupying could not sustain them any longer, and there was some strife and discord breaking out. And so Abram had realized the blessing of God and said, you know what, God's going to take care of me. He'll take care of me, taking care of me in good times and bad times. And so I'm going to give Lot the choice here. And Lot looked at the well-watered plains, and he ended up choosing that area. And before long, you find that he has settled in the town of Sodom. You're going to find out a little bit later, it was not a godly place. And let me just say this. Don't put your spiritual life on the back burner. Your spiritual life is very, very important. We let all of our kids make the decision of where they were going to go and go to college. My oldest daughter, she's really smart. Really smart. Smarter than I am. That, and some of you say, well, that's not saying much. Anybody can be smarter than you are. And I say, oh, okay. I set myself up for that. But anyway, she was considering, she was a biology major. She wanted to go, and she was considering going to this one particular school here in the state of Florida. She would have been able to go relatively inexpensively. It wouldn't have cost her that much financially because of the scholarships that she had and how well she had done academically and extracurricularly in high school. And we said, okay, I want you to think about something. Your job is one third of your life. It's actually a little bit less than a third because you're generally working Monday through Friday and you only work 8 hours a day. So you've got two thirds of your life beyond that. And so all we're asking is, would you go and look at this one particular Christian college? And in actuality, I was hoping that she would choose to go to community college for 2 years, but 40% of our church had moved away across the country, and neither of my daughters had much of a youth group during the time that they were in high school, and so we understood they needed Christian friends. If you're listening right now, I can tell you this. Having your kid involved in a children's ministry and a youth ministry will not guarantee that they will always make the right decisions. But if you do not have your kids, if you are not training them up in the ways of God, if you do not have them actively plugged in and surrounded by people of virtue and godly character, you are almost 100% sentencing them to a life filled with problems. And so we said, would you go and take this? And she said, okay, well, we'll go look there first, and then we'll go look at the school that I want to go to. And we went to the school, and she found all of these Christian young people. Not everybody that went to school there was a Christian, but a lot of them were. Found a beautiful campus, and she really enjoyed the visit. We went to the other school that she wanted to go to. She said, Dad, would you go with me? I said, sure, I'll go with you. We went over there, and it was over in Tampa, and we were there. We were there for 15 minutes. She found out that there was only one girl's dorm on the building or on the campus. Everything else was a co-ed dorm, and it wasn't co-ed by floor. It wasn't co-ed by building. It was just co-ed by room, and that wasn't to guarantee that your roommate wouldn't be bringing somebody back into your room. There was a completely and totally different environment than what she had seen before. And 15 minutes in, she said, Dad, can we leave? And we had Busch Gardens passes at the time, and we were both really wishing at that point in time we had brought our Busch Gardens passes because we would have gone to Busch Gardens that day. But she made the choice that she was going to invest in her spiritual life because it was so very important. Lot did not make that choice. He chose for what was comfortable and luxurious. And the amazing thing about things that are valuable is when you have things that are valuable, people tend to covet them and they are willing to go to war with them. And so a king came in, attacked Sodom, attacked some other little villages in there, and carried off all the people, and he carried off Lot. And that was his big mistake. And so where all of the armed men of certain cities could not withstand this king, Abram rallied 318 servants that he had who knew how, who had been trained. That's one of the things that you will see specifically in there, that he he armed his 318 trained servants and went in pursuit as far as Dan. In other words, he said, there is a nephew of mine that I'm ready to wage warfare to get my nephew back. I want to ask you today, are we ready to engage in spiritual warfare, not against people? Let me take you back there to Ephesians again, because it tells us who we are waging war against. We are against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Does Abram love Lot more than we love our nephew? I sure hope not. Does Abram love his community more than we love our community? I certainly hope not. And so today, as we're visiting Galatians 5:25 here for the last time in this series, I want to ask you, if we live in the Spirit, that means a lot more than just what takes place inside of our churches on Sunday morning. That means that when we emerge from our sanctuaries, emerge from our churches, that under the direction and the lordship of Jesus Christ, that we live in the Spirit and we march in formation for divine purposes to set captives free, to release those who are in bondage, to open eyes that are blinded, to enable those who cannot walk to be able to move about the way that God created them to. Today, I can tell you this. There are a lot of prisoners of war in this community. Not a warfare the way that the world describes it, but there are a lot of prisoners of spiritual war. People who are bound by hurt and pain and disappointment. People who have been wounded, they have been blinded by the enemy, and they don't even know that there is a deliverer that is available to them. Listen, I'm going to clean up a quote from Patton. Today, I'm not asking you to die for your country. I'm asking you to be so well equipped that the other person dies for their country. Today, I want to know, will you march in the Spirit so that prisoners of war can be set free? We'll see you next time right here on Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.